of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to apologize again for having to cancel services last Sunday morning, right at the last minute. But I was very sick last Sunday morning, and I probably could have pushed through it, but it would have been miserable for me and miserable for y'all. And I just felt like being sick that I didn't need to come here and be around anybody, so decided to cancel it. I mentioned on Wednesday night how that one of my sweetest members, Miss Rosalind, responded by saying I wasn't here because I ate too much. But I clarified that Wednesday night. It had nothing to do with what I ate. I actually drank too much. That was the problem. I had a hangover and I couldn't make it last Sunday. No, thank the Lord that wasn't a problem. That might have been the case years ago, but not for a long, long time. Thank the Lord. It's good to be in the Lord's house today, and I do appreciate y'all coming to be with us. We certainly still have many, many people that we need to remember in prayer. I mentioned Wednesday night to the congregation that Miss Janet has tested positive for the COVID, and Tim is waiting to be to find out. He's had to be tested, got some symptoms, but Miss Janet has tested positive, so we need to remember to pray for her and Brother Tim. And then I told the church in Sunday school that Michelle Browder has tested positive for COVID as well. She found out Friday. A lot of the people are asymptomatic, but Michelle has had symptoms with hers, and Miss Janet has had some symptoms with hers as well. But we need to remember these people and their families, and all the families, really, that are being affected by this. John chapter 10, I want us to read one verse here for the sake of time, but please keep your Bible handy. We'll be looking at other verses or passages in the message, but we're going to start today in John chapter 10, verse 10, which is a very familiar verse of Scripture to most church-going people. Excuse me. If you have a red letter edition, you'll notice that these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we are thankful again for this day. This is the day that you have made. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to be here. Thank you for those that are present with us in our service today. And we do pray for the others that would love to be here but are not able, whatever their situation is. And I know, Lord, that we have some very faithful and dedicated members of this church that are really, really missing being in our services with us. And Lord, I pray for them. I pray that somehow in their isolation that they would get the spiritual nourishment that they need to see them through this time. And that, Lord, as soon as possible, they could be back with us in your house. And for others that are just being careless and their priorities are not straight, they love the things of this world more than they do you, I pray, Lord, you'd deal with their heart today as well. You'd help them to evaluate their priorities, make sure that you are first in their life. Lord, I pray that you would help me now as I try to preach. Lord, please give me clarity of thought and speech and liberty that I can say exactly what you want said. I pray you'd give each one of us ears to hear and hearts to receive the message that you have for us. And Lord, most of all, help us to apply it to our lives. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are just past the 4th of July. We're 1 week, just a little over a week removed from the 4th of July, a major American holiday, which now, according to morons like Colin Kaepernick, is a racist holiday that celebrates white supremacy. That's the kind of nonsense we got going on in our country today. All I can say for people like him is he needs to just get on a boat or a plane or whatever and find him somewhere else to live, because he does not deserve to live in the country that we have today. He just simply doesn't. And anybody that follows along those lines does not deserve the privilege that it is to live in the United States of America. But anyway, we're just past the 4th of July, and I intended last Sunday to preach a 4th of July-inspired message, but as you know, I couldn't make it. So today I'm going to preach the message that I intended to preach last Sunday, because the truth of this message applies to any person on any occasion. And so I'm going to preach the same message that I would have preached last Sunday. And the title for the message is Certain Inalienable Rights. Certain Inalienable Rights. And I want to begin by saying on July the 4th, 1776, 56 delegates to the Second Continental Congress meeting at the Pennsylvania State House in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, ratified and signed what we know to be the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence, whose principal author is Thomas Jefferson, is a formal explanation of why Congress voted to declare independence from Great Britain and its tyrannical king, George III. It lists 27 colonial grievances against King George. Abraham Lincoln called it a rebuke and stumbling block to tyranny and oppression. But if you read the Declaration of Independence in its entirety, and I often wonder how many American citizens actually have read the Declaration of Independence in its entirety. And the reason I wonder that is because we live in a time now where people don't want the whole truth. You understand what I mean? They want little snippets and little segments and little blips here and there. They'll show you just a small part of a film or of a video, but they won't show you the whole video because they don't want you to know the whole truth. They just want you to know what they think supports where they stand or what they believe. So I wonder how many people actually have read the Declaration of Independence in its entirety. But if you do that, you'll see that three major ideas stand out. The first is that people have certain inalienable rights. The second is that all men are created equal. And the third is that individuals have a civic duty to defend these rights for themselves and others. The first of these ideas provided the inspiration and the outline for today's message. I want to read you a part of what the Declaration of Independence says. And I would imagine this that I'm going to read is the part of the Declaration of Independence that most people are familiar with. It says this: we hold, y'all know what it is? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That sentence has been called one of the best known sentences in the English language, containing the most potent and consequential words in American history. Now, while I would not go that far, I would say those are some very significant words for the history of our country. But the Declaration of Independence says this. It says we have, as people, certain inalienable rights. We have the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I have some good news this morning. I just happen to know, like many of you, a person, not a government, but a person that can accomplish all three of these rights in any individual's life. And that person, again, not a government, but that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ can give life, liberty, and not just the pursuit of happiness. He can give actual happiness in a person's life. And he can do this for any person, irregardless of what government system they live under. I mean, a person can live under a regime where they are constantly oppressed, persecuted, lied to, and even enslaved by their leaders, and yet Jesus Christ can still give them life, liberty, and happiness. In this world, really not in our country yet, but in this world, there are still saved people who live in constant persecution because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the Christians that live in the country of China, for example. How many of you in here understand that China is a communist country? And that's not just a matter of opinion, that's a matter of fact. China is a communist country, and they persecute Christians all the time. The Christians in China do not have the religious liberty and freedom that we enjoy right here in the United States of America. Many of them, most of them, have to meet in secret because of fear of being put in jail for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it is for people in countries around this world. And yet, many of those people, many of those saved people in those horrible places enjoy life and liberty and happiness every day. You know what I found in talking to people from these other countries and talking to missionaries that go to these foreign countries and deal with Christians in other lands? I have found through the years that most of these saved people in these other lands living under these horrible governments have more joy and more peace and more happiness and more zeal for God than us saved people that live right here in the United States of America. That's an indictment on us, amen. Because to whom much is given, doesn't the Bible say much shall be required? And listen to me, outside of the nation of Israel, there's no country on the planet that's been given as much as the United States of America. We're a blessed country, and we're going to answer to God for all that he's given to us through the years. But Jesus Christ is the one. If you need life, if you need liberty, and you need happiness, Jesus can give you all three. And this reality, this truth is seen throughout the New Testament, but I want to show you just from the Gospel of John alone that Jesus can give life, liberty, and happiness. So let's start with life this morning. Let's start with Jesus giving life. I want to say, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ gives physical life. He gives physical life. John begins his gospel by saying that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John said all things were made by him. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says that all things were created by him and for him. Physical life comes from Jesus Christ. You and I are not here today because we evolved from an animal or because of some massive explosion way back billions of years ago. We are here today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the giver and the sustainer of physical life. You know what the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 3? He said, I laid down and slept. He says, I'll wait for the Lord sustain me. He says, I laid down and I went to sleep and then I woke up later. But the reason why I woke up is because the Lord sustained me. If you woke up this morning, and I guess you did, if you woke up this morning to see another day that the Lord hath made, it's because the Lord sustained your life through the night. He is the giver and the sustainer of all physical life. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says in Him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we live and move and have our being. In Him we live, listen, and move. That old song that's been around forever says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Do you know that's biblical? In Him we live and move. I can't even move. I can't put one foot in front of the other without Him. It is because of Jesus Christ that I live and I move. Here's another. The Bible says that He giveth to all life and breath. Think about that for a minute. He giveth to all life and breath. You're sitting in that pew this morning and you're breathing. You know what the Bible calls that breath? The Bible calls that the breath of life. You know where the breath of life comes from? It comes from the Lord. That's where it comes from. It's not something you make yourself. The Lord is the source of the breath of life. I think back to the very beginning when He created Adam and Eve. The Bible says that God created Adam and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You know why Adam took that first breath and was able to continue breathing? Because God gave him that breath. You know why you breathe? Why sitting in that pew you're drawing in breath right now? It's because He's giving you that breath. Without that breath, you would not live. And really, when you get to thinking about this stuff, it ought to amaze all of us at the arrogance of man. Isn't it amazing how arrogant and cocky we are as people? How we walk around thinking so much of ourselves and trying to take credit for all the things that we accomplish. We like to brag on ourselves and all the things that we've done. It is so foolish for any of us to do that, because the only reason we're alive is because of Him. And if it wasn't for Him, I couldn't even draw breath into my lungs. And yet I'm going to try to take credit for something that I do in my life. Listen, anything you're able to accomplish is because of Him, not because of you. And we have no reason to walk around being proudful. We have every reason to walk around praising the God who puts breath into our lungs. He is the source of physical life. But number two, and even more important, He is the source of spiritual life. He's the source of physical life, but He is also the source of spiritual life. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, to impart life. Look right here once again at John chapter 10 and verse number 10 where we started out. Jesus says, the thief cometh not. And certainly one application for the thief would be the devil. You can definitely make that application. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil does. He is a stealer of peace, a killer of joy, and a destroyer of lives and homes. Notice what Jesus says about Himself. He says, I am come. Whenever Jesus said that, He was actually here on the earth. Amen. So He's telling you one of the reasons why He came. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He says, one of the main reasons I showed up down here was to give life, to impart life. And here He's talking about spiritual life. That's what every lost person in the world needs. Every lost person needs spiritual life. That's what the Bible says. It's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. According to the Bible, every person that is unsaved is dead in trespasses and sins. They're dead spiritually, and they need to be quickened. That is a Bible word that means to be made alive. They need to be quickened, and the only one that can make them alive spiritually is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, listen now, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's very simple. It's kind of narrow-minded, isn't it? Because what that says is that the only way, the absolute only way you have life is through Jesus Christ. You cannot find spiritual life anywhere else. You can't find it in Buddha. You can't find it in Muhammad. You can't find it in Confucius. You can't find it in the Pope. You can't find it in Joseph Smith. You can't find it in any preacher, any person other than Jesus Christ. Without him, there is no spiritual life at all. It's only in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And that's one of the great things about the spiritual life that he gives. The spiritual life that Jesus gives is eternal or everlasting. Look right here once again at John chapter 10. Same chapter. Look at verse number 27. Verse number 27. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal life. Whenever the Lord gives you life, he doesn't give you temporary life. Praise God. Amen. He doesn't give you temporary life. You talk about one of the most arrogant things in all of the world, and I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just telling you the truth. One of the most arrogant things that you could possibly believe as a human being is that you could live good enough, number one, to save yourself, and number two, to keep yourself saved. That's one of the most arrogant, conceited things that you'll ever believe in your life. Because in saying that, you're saying, I'm good enough to do it on my own. I can live good enough to make sure I get into heaven, and I can live good enough to make sure that I never lose my salvation once I get it. There is no person on this earth that has the goodness in them to save theirself or keep themselves saved. Nobody. That's just a prideful, arrogant thing. You know why I'm saved this morning, why I have life? It's not because I'm a good person. Like I told you, ask my wife. She'll tell you all about me. And what she misses, my son will point out for you. Then talk to my mama, and she'll give you a few more things. I got a cousin here this morning. Talk to her. She'll tell you all about it. Me and this lady right here grew up fighting together whenever we were kids. That's the truth. I don't have life because I'm good. The Bible says there is none good. No, not one. Isn't that what it says? You don't have life because you're good. You have life because Jesus Christ gave you that life, or you don't have life. And the life that he gives is not something temporary that depends on my behavior. I don't have to do good and do good and do good and make sure I never mess up to maintain the life he gives. If that's the case, none of us would have life now. How many of you are honest enough to admit this morning that since you got saved, I ain't talking about before you got saved, I'm talking about since you got saved, you've done a whole lot of stuff you ought not do. Every one of us have, amen? Every last one of us. Matter of fact, I'll go out on a limb and say we sin every day of our life. You know how sinful we are? We're so sinful that we've sinned since we've been in this building this morning. See, how do you know that? I just know human nature. Because sin's not just an outward thing that you do. Sin, the Bible says, is as simple as the thought of foolishness. Isn't that what the Bible says? The thought of foolishness. All of us sin. None of us are good enough. We don't have life. We don't keep life because we're good. Life is given to us by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives us eternal, everlasting life. What is that great verse, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the kind of life that Jesus gives. He's the source of physical life. He's the source of spiritual life. And then I want to say before I move on, he's the source of abundant life as well. Because look at John 10:10 one more time. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He's the source of abundant life. Now think about the word abundant for just a moment. When something is abundant, it's plentiful. It's not a small amount, it's a large amount. It's a large quantity of something. And that's the kind of life that Jesus Christ wants his children to have. He wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to have a life that is filled with the good things of God. You know something I've noticed in all these years of being in the ministry and just dealing with Christians and just dealing with myself, living with myself every day, I've noticed that a lot of folk who are saved, they have life. They're on their way to heaven. If they died at any moment, they'd be with Jesus. No doubt about that, because they've trusted him. But many of those same people are not living with the abundant life that the Lord wants them to have. They're not. They're living way down here, spiritually speaking, when the Lord wants them to be way up here. And let me clarify what I'm talking about. And you have to clarify it nowadays, because anytime you start talking about abundance, people think you're talking about money. You know, God wants you to be rich and have. Look, money is a carnal thing. We're not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about when I say the Lord wants us to have abundance. I'm talking about a life filled up inside of us, just filled up with the good things of God. He doesn't want us just going along, just barely living and hanging on till we get to heaven one day. Man, he wants us to enjoy the journey from the day we get saved to the day we go to meet him. He wants us to have that abundant life. He wants us to have his peace that passeth all understanding. His joy, as the Bible says, that is unspeakable and full of glory. His hope that endures forever. That's what the Lord intends for us to have. And let me say this to you. He intends for us to have that, irregardless of what's going on. And that's one of the things that I want us to understand from the message. It's like I mentioned in the introduction about people living in horrible places under very difficult circumstances, but still having life. And still having liberty and still having happiness. What I want you to realize this morning is that things don't always have to be wonderful for you to enjoy the abundant life. Just because things are so bad in the world around us right now, and things are bad, all right? There's stuff going on like none of us in here are familiar with, things we've never experienced in our lives on earth, and we really don't have any idea how this thing's going to play out. We don't, do we? We don't know how much time it's going to take and what's going to happen before it's all said and done. But listen to me. I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you this morning. My hope is not in a vaccine. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And I refuse to let the garbage in this world suck the life out of me. That's not how the Lord wants me to live. He doesn't want any of his children to go through this situation living in fear and turmoil and confusion without joy. He wants us to have abundant life. And you can have it through him, through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives life. Got to move on or I'm going to run out of time. Number two, not only is Jesus the giver of life, but I want you to understand he is the giver of liberty. Turn to John chapter 8 with me now. John chapter 8. These are our rights according to the Declaration of Independence. We have the right to life. That's found in Jesus Christ. We have the right to liberty. That's found in Jesus Christ. John chapter 8. We'll start in verse number 31. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." So we're talking about some Jews that believed on Christ. He says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Here it is, verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth." Now notice the connection here. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth." He says, if you stay in my word, then you're going to know the truth. You know why you'll know the truth if you stay in his word? Because his word is truth. Isn't that what it says? John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So if you want to know truth, you stay in the word. You stay in the word of God. You don't watch the television all the time. Y'all do know that most of what you're being told is a lie, don't you? And I'm not even talking about COVID, okay, so don't freak out. I'm talking about all the other mess that we get told all the time. Before COVID ever showed up, we were being lied to constantly by that television sitting in our living rooms, weren't we? Look, you can't listen to that junk all the time and read the paper all the time and read Facebook all the time and all this other stuff and expect to know the truth. If you want to know the truth, you're going to have to get in the Word and stay in the Word. That's how you know truth. Why is it important to know the truth? Why is it important? Well, look at verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Liberty make you free. What makes a person free? Not a government. Truth makes a person free. But now notice this. The very fact that he said to these people, the truth shall make you free, means that they were in bondage, right? I mean, there'd be no point to say the truth to make you free if they didn't need to be set free. So the fact that he says that means that they were in bondage. Now, as they did many times, they misunderstood what Jesus was talking about. Look at verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You know what they thought he was talking about? They thought he was talking about being in bondage to a person or a people, to some government or something like that. That's not what he was talking about at all, was he? He was talking about being set free from something completely different than that. Here it is, verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. What was he talking about being in bondage to? Sin. There are a lot of people, even saved people, that are in bondage today. They're in bondage to sin. There is some sin or sins that has enslaved them. They serve that sin every day of their life. They serve it every day. It could be anything from alcohol to drugs to gambling to pornography, those exterior things, but then it could also be things like greed and worry and fear and lust and on and on and on. The people live in bondage every day to these sins of the flesh, these sins of the mind. They live in bondage to these things. But you know what the good news is? The good news is they can have liberty, amen? You don't have to be a servant to sin. You don't have to live in bondage to that sin every day of your life. Look at verse 36. Jesus said this. He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Indeed means without a doubt, certainly. That's what it means. If the Son therefore make you free. Liberty is in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Him through his word. Look at it once again, verse 31. If ye continue in my word, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, his power, and his word that can give you liberty. You don't have to live in bondage. You can have freedom in your life. And there's people all over that want it. There's people all over that want it. People that's in bondage and been in bondage like that for a long time, struggling, just barely surviving every day, having a rough time. And they want freedom. They want liberty. But what a lot of people are doing, the mistake that a lot of people are making, I've made it in my own life, is they're looking to the wrong source for liberty. They're trying things that cannot give them liberty. If you want real liberty in your life, real freedom from sin, you will get that in Jesus Christ and his word. That's the only way you can have real liberty. Let me give you this last thing here. Turn to John chapter 13 now. John chapter 13. The Lord Jesus Christ gives life. He gives liberty. And he can give happiness. And I guess I have never met anyone in my life that didn't want to be happy. Right? Now you run across some people all along who might make you question that. They, you know, every time you see them, it's just negative and mully grubs and down in the dumps and belly aching about something all the time, and you wonder, do they just want to be miserable, you know? But I think at the end of the day, really, most every person wants to be happy, right? They want to have that. What's amazing to me is how many unhappy people there are. They want it, but they don't possess it. They want happiness, but they don't have happiness. And why is that? Well, I think it's the same thing as what I said about liberty. The reason why a lot of people are not happy is because they're looking to the wrong source. They're trying all these other things that promise happiness, but they don't really deliver on the promise. See, that's how the devil suckers you in, isn't it? That's how the devil suckers you in. He puts all these things out there in front of you. And he says, hey, if you'll try this, and you'll try this, and you'll take this, and you'll do this, and you'll be happy. You know what people do all the time? They buy into his lies. And they try this for a while. And for maybe just a little while, they think they're happy. Seems like things are all right. But then the bottom falls out of that because that doesn't provide real lasting happiness. And then when the bottom falls out of that, he puts something else in front of them. And they say, well, I'm going to try that a little while. And surely that'll work, because the devil can paint a mighty pretty picture, can't he? He can paint a mighty pretty picture. And he can make it look like the greatest thing in the whole world and how to just satisfy you. And you even hear it sometimes. Well, if I can just get that, I know I'll be happy. If I can just get that, if I can just have that in my life, or I can just be with this person or go to this place or have this job, I'll just be happy. And so they try this. And for a little while, it seems like everything's all right. And then the bottom falls out of that too, because there's no lasting happiness in that. What I'm telling you is there's no lasting happiness in anything that this world has to offer or that the devil offers you. Lasting happiness that'll stay with you through the ups and the downs. And that's the kind you want, right? That's what we need. I mean, I guess most anybody can be happy when everything's good in their life. What about when the bottom falls out? What about when you're in the valley? Lasting happiness. I'm talking about the kind that'll be with you on the mountain and in the valley, in the good times and the bad, is found only in Jesus Christ. Only He can give you that kind of happiness. And you'll waste your life, and you'll waste thousands and thousands of dollars and all kinds of time trying to find happiness in all these other sources. And you know what? He'll give it to you, and He won't charge you a dime. That's just how good He is. But happiness, real happiness, is found in Him. Look at John chapter 13 now, verse 17. We're just about done. John 13, 17. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Happy. Now notice this. He doesn't say happy are ye if you know them. He didn't say if you know these things, happy are ye if you know them. He said if you know these things, happy are ye if you what? Do them. Obedience to what Jesus says is where real happiness is found. You look to the Lord Jesus. You look to the example He set. You listen to the things He said. You do those things. And that's when you have happiness in your life. And I want you to understand this as I get ready to close. The main context of verse number 17, and we don't have the time to read this whole passage, but the main context of verse number 17 is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, getting down on His knees and washing the nasty, stinking feet of His 12 disciples. Have you ever noticed that? That's what He does. Just before He says this, He gets down on His knees and He washes the nasty, stinking feet of His disciples. And then, look at it now. Verse number 14. Jesus says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Then look at verse 15. He says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And then He says in verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Jesus had just served His disciples. And He says, hey, I'm your Lord and I'm your Master. And if I, as your Lord and Master, will get down here and serve you, then you certainly ought to be willing to serve one another. And then He says, I left you this example. You follow My example of service. You serve others. Here's the last thought I want to give you. One reason why a lot of people are not happy. It's because instead of serving others, they're living selfish, self-absorbed lives. It's all about them. They don't serve anybody but themselves. Me, myself, and I, that's number one in their life. And I truly believe, because I'm going by what Jesus said, that if we'll quit focusing on ourselves so much all the time and start thinking about our brothers and sisters in Christ and other people around us and look for ways that we can serve them, which is what Jesus said we're supposed to do, then we will begin to experience true and lasting happiness in our lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning thankful for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I'm so thankful that through you we can have life. Have it more abundantly. We can have liberty and we can have happiness. If there's anybody here today that's not saved, they don't have that life that only you can give, I pray that they would trust you before they leave the service today. If there's any of us that don't have the abundant life that you want us to have, Lord, help us to understand that's in you. We have to put our lives in your hands each and every day. Lord, that we got to stay in your word so that we can have that liberty that you can give. That we have to serve others and do the things that you've shown us to do so we can be happy. Be with us now, I pray, as we leave in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.